Reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 29th verse. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year that God called me to preach. Boy, this last week has been a pistol. I had a formal wedding at the castle. My wife and I and a quartet went to had three services to prison. There's about 20 people accepted Christ. And now I got another formal wedding, the 15th. These are my grandchildren, my stars. I hope I don't have to live long enough to marry my great-grandchildren. Well, listen, I'm telling you, friends, I thank you for your prayers. I feel so much better, and so does my wife. I've lost 23 pounds, and I give God the praise and the glory for it, because he did it. Well, listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter, 13th verse. Alrighty, let's find it here. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I've labeled this, love is the greatest. Folks, listen. Love is in God's plan. I read in Ecclesiastes 3:8, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. But the Bible says, love is greater than faith or hope. Let's read that again. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, this is the greatest subject in the whole Bible. It's a subject that affects all people, and it's a subject that has life-changing power. Power to change your attitude. Oh, my stars. One time, my little granddaughter called me on the phone, and I disagreed with what she wanted to find out. And I told her, she said, Grandpa, you've got a tood. I said, what's a tood? She said, you have an attitude. Well, it has a power to change that. And oh, beloved friends, it has power to change your marriage. Listen, friends, my wife and I have been married 61 years. That's a long time. And I'm telling you, the first 8 years of my life, it was a living hell for my wife because of my alcoholism. But Jesus came into my heart, changed me, and when he changed me, he changed our love and our marriage. So if you want a good marriage, let Jesus run it for you. A power to change your church. Friends, each one of us know that the church of today is no longer the church of yesterday. Yesterday, our churches were on fire. We were out winning souls. We were witnessing. We were bringing people in the church, and now we have a club, a social club, and we have our little lunches, and we have our little, they call them prayer meetings. I don't know why they call them that. One person stands up and prays, and then they all go home. And it also has a power to change your and my future. You see, God's love is for us, and I read in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if it hadn't been for what Jesus did on the cross, this wouldn't mean a hill of beans to you. Love wouldn't mean anything. That's the greatest news in the whole world. God loves us. Oh, last week at the prison, oh my stars, there were so many people that gave their heart to Christ. And the one thing I assured them, I said, you know, God really loves you. I know you did sin or you wouldn't be in here. We know that, and I'm not condoning what you did. But I'll tell you for sure, God loves you. He wants to change you. He wants you to go out of here born again and a flaming witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. And when those men and women accepted Christ, we just rejoice. Someone, and then after that service, there was another preacher come in to hold two more services, and I was talking to him. He said, let's face it, Cecil, everybody is not called to go to prison. I said, of course, sir, we know that. Sure, they're not everybody called. But I'll tell you one thing. He does call people for this service. And I honestly, friends, if I had a chance to speak in the largest church in the world or get a chance to go to prison, I'd take the prison because I'm sure someone's going to be saved there. You can't say that in church. I preach Sunday after Sunday. I pastored for 3 years. And we saw a lot of people saved, but that was quite unusual, not because of my great preaching, but because someone had labored before I did, see? We just went in there and did the harvesting. God loves us while we were sinners. I read in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in sin, the Lord went to the cross because he knew that there would be witnesses and there would be evangelists and evangelistic people going out and sharing the good news of Christ. Well, God loved us when we didn't love him. Verse 10, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things way, way behind me. Well, God sent his Son Jesus to the cross, and we know what that is. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not a temporary life, but everlasting life. We will never, never, never be separated from God's love. And I read in Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Isn't that beautiful? You see, friends, God loves in our hearts. That's what we have. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Friends, listen. Listen to me very carefully. If you do not have love in your heart for the Lord or for your fellow man, you don't know the Jesus that I know. For God is love. God's love then should flow through us to others. Listen, Jesus loved those who were difficult to love. I was an alcoholic, the worst kind. And yet God loved me. And see, when I went to Reverend Tom Baird's house at 3 a.m. in the morning, I was convinced that I was doomed and damned for hell. I knew I was. I was headed there. Well, he kept saying, but Cecil, God loves you. I said, that can't be. He said, why? I said, why did he take my sister? Why did he take my mother? Why did he take my dad? And why did he give me the meanest stepmother that ever lived and then take my family away and I end up an alcoholic? Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit of God just kept tugging at my heart, and pretty soon I realized that God really loved me. And I fell upon my knees and I ask him to come in and save me. It tells us also in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, the 4th verse, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it shall pass away. Oh, what a revelation. What a revelation. Love is patient and kind. Hey, you know my little great-grandson. He's 3 years old, and he's a pistol. He brings joy and light into our house every time he comes in. And let me tell you, dear friends, that little fella will not let you eat your dinner until you thank Jesus for the food. You know what he told me that? He's 3 years old. He calls me Pa. He says, Pa, I'm not going to go to school. Well, I said, you got to go to school. No, Mama's going to homeschool me. I said, well, I guess that's right. He said, you know why? I said, no. He said, because everybody doesn't love Jesus. Three-year-old child. We were at a meeting one time. A lot of our family members, and there's some in there not born again. And my granddaughter asked Luke if he'd like to return thanks. And he started to pray, and he said, said to Ed, you haven't shut your eyes, and you've not folded your hands yet. He made everybody fold their hands, shut their eyes, and then he went and prayed. You know what? Wouldn't that be surprising if that little rascal God called him to preach? I don't know if he will, but it would sure make me happy. Love is neither touchy or angry. And friends, I will assure you, love is never selfish. You remember me telling you many times, there's no place in Christianity for selfish people. Now, don't get me wrong, I was selfish. Oh, I certainly was. And I figured a dollar a week was enough to give to the church so that the preacher could be paid. But then the pastor told us about what God said we should do about our tithing. Friends, I think it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. The tithe is the Lord's, not the preacher's, not the church's. It's the Lord. Don't send your tithe to these radio and television evangelists, because you know what they're doing. They're building kingdoms. They don't give a hoot where you spend eternity. They're always asking you to help them. You ever notice that? Love is quick to forgive, doesn't hold grudges. Boy, you know, that was one thing I used to hold. I'll tell you right now, I used to hold grudges. But the Lord finally got a hold of me and said, oh, well, look at my stepmother. Used to beat me and lock me in the basement. She's the first thing that God put on my heart after I was saved, to forgive her. I went to her home and told her, and I kissed her, and I loved her, and I told her that I forgave her. She never did ask my forgiveness for what she beat me, but that's all right. I did what I thought was right. God's love in the harvest. And I read in 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I can stand up on the pulpit, I can sit on this broadcast and tell you how much I love you, but it's action that talks. Oh, friends, I'd rather see a sermon lived than preached. We're to love lost people. Oh, friends, this is what we're lacking in our churches today, the love for the lost. You know there is, no, by the way, at that wedding that at the castle, afterwards, they had booze like you won't believe, because the girls' parents, all them were lost people. I never saw so much drinking and drunkenness. And I thought, what a way, what a way. But did you know? I tried to witness to them. I told them that Jesus loved them right in the service. I told them that God loved them, and I told them he loved me. Jesus calls us to go to a lost world with his love. And he says in Matthew 28:18, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That is a command. There's no option to that. It is for all people. Now you say, well, Cecil, for pity's sake, grow up. You know, I'm 75 years old. Well, can't you give to the church so that the missionaries can go? Can't you do that? You don't have to go. Can you pray? Is that so difficult? Well, I know it's hard to pray sometimes when you're busy, but you can do all those things. So everybody in God's family is involved and should be involved. He tells us in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, which is also America. Oh, I wished I could sit down with you and just have a cup of coffee and discuss some of the things over these 52 years that I've seen God do. Not Cecil. I've seen God do. I've seen him perform miracles. But you see, that's not what he came to do. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, he performed miracles to show the power of God. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He didn't do that for a circus. He did that to bring people to Jesus. Well, all going and witnesses is ineffective without love, was it say? And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Oh, friends, listen to me. Preaching without love is just noise. You know, I was preaching in the men's prison the other day. I said, have you ever heard these crazy, wild preachers get up there and say, you're all going to hell, God sending you all to hell. Frothing at the mouth and like a donkey. And you know what? That preacher didn't have any love in his heart, and he lied to him in the first place. God does not send people to hell. You send yourself by rejecting God's beloved Son, Jesus. Witnessing without love is worthless. Hey, about preaching without love, I got to tell you a story about myself, and I'm kind of ashamed to tell it, but it's a true story. I was pastoring a church in Corbett, Oregon, and one time we had several people in our church that smoked. And one Sunday I was preaching, and I said, you know, folks, I used to smoke even after I was saved, but I said I sure didn't enjoy them. I said I was convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that I shouldn't do it. In fact, the matters, beloved, God never called me to preach until I gave those cigarettes up. But anyway, this woman went to everybody in the church and said, we got to get rid of that preacher. He said smoking is a sin, which it is. And so I started preparing sermons for her alone. Oh, that was wrong. That was wrong. I couldn't preach love when I was talking like a crazy preacher. Well, let me tell you what happened. One day we had service twice in the day, one morning and night, and I had prepared a burner for that woman. Boy, I was gonna burn her hide. And that afternoon we had the humongous snowstorm. I mean, a snowstorm that would not quit. And when I got to the church and lit the fires, I waited. Not even nobody came, just me and the Lord. And I was so upset. I wanted to deliver this sermon to this evil woman. And I went over and sat down and I started playing the organ. I love to play the organ. And I was playing the organ. All of a sudden, friends, it was like the Lord said, Cecil, I love you. And I wrote that song, I Know the Lord, and I Wish You Knew Him Too. That's the first song I ever wrote, but boy, it taught me a lesson. And my wife said, you know, you and the devil are having a pretty good time preaching to this woman. I didn't know she recognized. Well, anyone could have recognized it. And witnessing without love is worthless, and giving without love is bad investment. You know, if you give to the church because you feel that the preacher knows about it or the deacon, and you've got to do it, forget it. It won't work. You've got to give with love in your heart. When you give to the poor and the needy, give with love in your heart. The Bible said when you give to the poor, you lendeth unto the Lord. That's been my philosophy. And friends, when I go down to the Denver Rescue Mission, me and my wife, there'll be 150 men and women in there, desperate, lost, doomed, and damned. And I always preach a love sermon. I always tell them, though, that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. We have to tell them about the judgment of God. If you reject him, you have to pay for it. I tell you what, reaching out in love brings results. I'll guarantee you it will bring results. Love reaches more people than logic. That's the truth. Love reaches more people than tact. I'll guarantee it. Love reaches more people than training. Oh, I tell you, we used to have training on Bible study and soul winning and this and that. But if you don't want to put it to practice, it don't do you. Just wasting your time. You might as well go to a cheap movie. Oh, listen, here's something, and I'll guarantee I know it's true. Love reaches more people than good arguments. Do you know, I knew a great preacher. I heard him preach. I was at his church one time. In fact, I spoke at his church. And he was great. He was world famous. And he had a deal with this lady, atheist, O'Hare. I thought, what a stupid for an intelligent man like you to waste your time with that atheist. She hated God and everything about it. Well, she finally died. They had to find her. We must love people as they are, not like we want them to be. You know, sometimes we'd like to... Oh, I got to tell you a story. The other day, my wife and I and some people were having... Oh, my quartet was having lunch after the service. And I was telling them, you know, I said, it was so sad at that wedding, beautiful wedding, and then the people, oh, what they did, and they drank, and they cursed, and I said, you know what, but God still loved them. And I told them, I said, you know, my wife and I have surely been protected. When I was drinking, I was with all those people, see, but the last 52 years, I haven't been around them. I go around them when I have to, and I'll try to reach them for Christ. And I've had hundreds and hundreds of calls on the broadcast from alcoholics. Oh, this one particular night, I received a call from a lady, and she was just sobbing her heart out. And she said, preacher, oh, I heard your message tonight. Oh, I wished my alcoholic husband could have heard that. Well, I said, why don't you let me come see him? Oh, no, no. He hates preachers. Oh, man. And he hates God and all this. I said, I'll tell you. She said, I'm leaving him tonight. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I said, do me a favor. Write a little note to him and say, here's a phone number. If you really want a friend, call it. And so she did. About 3 weeks later, one night, I got a call. This guy was sobbing his heart out. I could tell he was drunk. He said, my wife said if I wanted a friend or needed help to call this number. I said, you called the right number. My name is Cecil Moe. I'm a radio evangelist. I'd love to come over and talk to you. Oh, no, 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 don't come to my house. I said, I have to come to your house to talk to you. Ah, okay, he said, and he gave me his address. Now, folks, the minute he hung up, he called his wife at her mother's place and says, that crazy preacher's coming to my house. The dishes all over the floor, booze bottles all over the floor, cigarette butts. Come over and clean his house before he gets there. And when I got to the house, there she was, washing dishes and emptying whiskey bottles. And he was sitting on the Davenport drinking a Jim Beam whiskey. And he said, sit down. So I sat down beside him. And all of a sudden, precious friends, tears began to streak down his face. I hadn't said anything yet. I reached over and I took him by the hand. I said, son, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to love you through Jesus. And that night, oh, that night, beloved, I had the privilege and God just was there in such a special way, and that drunk guy and I knelt on our knees, and he invited Christ into his heart. Oh, friends, listen. The next scene is I'm leaving the house, and that woman and that boy was hugging and kissing. 3 years later, I was preaching in a church out in Elizabeth, Colorado. Who do you suppose was there? Those two people. Oh, God loves people, and we ought to love people. But listen, friends, when you don't feel loved, won't you consider the cross? The cross proves God's love for us as the Christ of the cross to love others through you. Beloved, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. You say, Cecil, I appreciate that message. But you know, Cecil, I don't know the Lord. I'm not an alcoholic. But I don't know the Lord. But you know, I feel a real tugging right now at my heart. What must I do? Well, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, he wants you to repent, turn your back on the old way of life, and he wants you to invite him into your heart. I want those of you who feel a tug at your heart to pray this prayer, but oh, please, friend, don't pray this if you don't mean it. It'll get you in a lot of trouble. Here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, I ask that you'll forgive my sinner's heart. I'm sorry of what I did to you and others. Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, call me, 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call, call collect. I'll accept the call. And friends, let me tell you this. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for money. I don't do that. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moore. Please continue to pray for me and my wife. Boy, I tell you, I lost 28 pounds. To God be the glory and the praise. I thank him for it. He did it. Well, listen, until this time next Sunday night, be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.